my journey to New Orleans started in October of 06. And our team had just returned from the second trip. And Brian had shared at church, and Tina was right behind me. And so Brian shared, came, sat down. And then after the service, I turned around and I said to Tina, I'm going on the next trip. Now, mind you, I have learned, having small kids, you're really careful about what you promise. The words were out. So when Brian and Tina got this urgent email from Samaritan's Purse that they needed help and they needed it now, Brian and Tina were both going, I don't think so. And so I went over and talked to Tina one Sunday after church, and she was just kind of sitting there, and I don't remember why I went over to talk to her, but it just, all the grief from the previous trip started to come out. And she felt like she was carrying the entire burden of this recovery for the hurricane and the memories that were still so strong from the prior trip. And so she's crying and trying to talk, and I'm just, okay, listening. And then Brian comes over and does what any good husband does, you know, calm down. What are you trying? You know, be still. And Tina's carrying on. And so when she finally was able to talk and not cry so much, it was, we're going to have to go. We're going to go back. And still not sure why or wanting to. And I would say of our other experienced travelers that had been there, they're all going, boy, Lord, isn't there another place to go? Isn't there a better place to go? And so we had our, Tina called me the next day and said, we're going. We need to book airline reservations. And I'm going, okay, money? Usually, I think you had about 2 months preparation for a trip. We had 3 weeks before we were going. They had confirmed with Samaritan's Purse when we were coming. It gave us 3 weeks to pull together the funds for airline tickets and the food that we would bring with us and to have in the trailer, as well as fuel for the RV. And the Lord was great. We raised over $2,000 in 2 weeks, Tina. In about 2 weeks, we made a lot of Rice Krispie bars and had a fantastic garage sale. People just giving money. And it was truly an amazing thing. It was definitely a God thing to pull that kind of money together. And for me to see it happen, because I had no funds to go. I was unemployed at the time, and God's telling me, you're going to New Orleans. And I'm telling Tina, okay, book my reservation. $400 ticket. And I'm going, what was I thinking? And the Lord provided the funds. So I'm going, okay, it was meant for me to go. And so we arrived in New Orleans about 3 p.m. And Dave was there to meet us, Dave, Tracy, and Rick, who were all probably a little stir crazy after how many days?
Five.
Six. In the coach. This coach was an amazing blessing for all of us. It was a respite. It was a place to just laugh and just let go, get rid of the stress and some of the grief from the day, and to decompress and sing I'm an Oscar Mayer Wiener. And I mean, you name it, we had songs that were going. And my youngest daughter has worked with Dave, and she's known Tracy since she was a very small child, and she's seen Dave and Tracy together. And Erin asked me, she said, Mom, are you ready for Dave and Tracy? I'm going, well, yeah, I think I am. So we arrived at Nunes Community College, and this particular junior college had been under 20 feet of water. when the levees broke in the area. Well, now it was divided by tarp into a dining room, the women's sleeping area, the men's sleeping area, our showers, our bathrooms, and an office, an area for our chaplains. And so Tracy bought a large jar of earplugs. Fortunately, there were, you know, as Frank said, there were only about 29 of us there, and so we had been we had to be at the airport by 5:30, so all of us had been up really, really early, and so lights out were at 9 o'clock. We were all in bed a little before that, except for the Uno card players. So lights out were at 9, and lights on were at 0600. Breakfast at 0630, worship and devotional at 0700, and then we would be at our sites as close to 8 o'clock as we could be. And Tuesday was our first day, so it was OSHA training. Now, Brian had given us a lot of the information already, so, you know, most of us, or some of us, read through it. But, and they told us all the usual stuff, but then there were some added things that were very specific, like be aware of the water moccasins. And if you happen to see an alligator, just leave it alone. I'm serious. They told us, you know, and so, you know, and then we went to be fitted for our suits that we wore, as you saw in the photos. It was a hazmat suit. We wore gloves, a full respirator, a helmet, the hood on the hazmat. We had work boots that nailed were a magnet for our work boots, and we were very grateful because there were a few of us that, you know, we'd be pulling out nails, especially in the last house with all the lath and plaster. So 85 degrees, 70% humidity, and wearing these suits for the whole time. It was an experience. So the first homeowner that we saw that Brian showed us as Greg, his three-year-old son was fourth generation in that home. And because it had been a tile roof, because it had been hit by that wall of water, there were no tile left, ergo there was not much of a roof left. And so everything was wet, and the smell, and a washing machine full of water still, and finding credit cards, multiple credit cards, driver's licenses, and things that you would find, you're just going, okay. And we had mice. We had palmetto bugs is a nice way to call them, as they call them in cockroaches. You know, and then we had a huge colony of termites that Frank was very good at removing after everything else was done. But that night, most of us had headaches. Even with our full respirators, we ended up with headaches and, okay, we want to do this again tomorrow. Well, we did. And fortunately, we were able to finish the home on Wednesday afternoon. And Dave's coach was a call to the neighborhood. We'd get there, we'd set it up, we'd have the awning out, and the neighbors would come. And we had opportunities to just listen to these people. And Brian talked about Mr. L. Page. What he didn't mention is that he was a professional. He played on the African-American pro baseball. He hit against Satchel Paige. Then the questions started coming. Because he had wonderful stories. And I know that Brian, being at the coach, probably heard a lot more stories than others of us who were in and out and working. The second day, or that afternoon, we went to a house that all we had to do was mold abatement. We never did have a chance to meet the owner, and I felt like that wasn't right. But, you know, that we were able to get it done. We were in and out, and it was great. And then we had an opportunity to go to the final house that we were working on, a 100-year-old duplex. And like Brian said, Oak Park, only worse. It must have been a grand home in its day. To think about lath and plaster and the woodwork that was in that home and the baseboards and the hardwood floors. And it was a beautiful home, and it was very painful for me to have to take a hammer to this plaster and destroy this beautiful home. But mold did its work, and we had to do what we were supposed to do. I found the business card in the plaster of the company who put up the plaster. That was cool. Life's simple pleasures. And again, this motorhome being out in front of this house drew the neighbors. And there were some really wonderful young women we met at that particular site. And one of them that pretty much stayed with us the entire time, April, young woman, beautiful young woman. You want to know more about her, you can talk to Tracy, you can talk to Tina, or you can talk to me to get April's story. It's truly amazing. And then we had hoped to get the house done, but then our eyes are always bigger than our bodies can handle. But we did get a lot done. A lot done that I think probably the final was maybe a simple cleanup and some sweep out and then the abatement. But Ira was an amazing man too. He was in school when Katrina hit. He finished his degree at Kansas State, and then he just received his master's in physics. And it was amazing. We meet the brothers, the uncles, the cousins, we met the families, and it was an amazing experience to be able to just listen to these people. It's very humbling for us to, you know, we're there to help. We just, you know, we want to do this, and they just blew me away just to listen to them and our presence gives them hope. And it was an amazing thing. And then another day we were able to drive around, Dave and some of our more experienced people wanted to see the houses they had worked on prior trips. And so we had an opportunity to drive around. And I was finally able to put faces to names that we had been hearing about and the homes that they had worked on. And it was so encouraging for Dave and Brian, Tina, Becky Jo, Tracy, for them to see these homes where they had been earlier, where there were trees still in, or cars still in the trees, and 3 feet of ocean and Hurricane Katrina still of mud, still in the parks. And now homes are starting to be rebuilt. And we met a neighbor of one of the homes they worked on, and she said something that I don't think I'll forget, is that she said, you know, we're a neighborhood, we take care of our own, we help each other, and she said, but we couldn't, we had so much of our own to take care of. She said, but you all came in and did what we couldn't do, and she says, and we're grateful for that. Now we're humbled. We're humbled to be able to serve in that way, to just how they made us a part of their lives just by seeing us and knowing why we were there, and Dave's coach saying hurricane relief, and it was a very humbling experience. And did I expect to get anything out of it? No, I was going to serve. But I was shown God's mighty power in just normal, everyday, small things, like a car accident happening right in front of Dave's coach. And I can see the car sliding towards his coach. And I'm going, it's going to take out the front of his coach. It didn't. The young man was on the way to lunch with to meet his pastor. Another homeless man walking by, and Dave says, "Do we still have any food left?" "Yeah, we do. We can give it to him." Just trivial needs or even unspoken thoughts being met by God. And that's, I believe, why he sent me there. It was for me to watch him work. And not just us who were working, but in the lives of the people that he brought to us. So it was an experience. And I'll do it again.